Hey, what's going on? It is right now September 15th, 2014. And let's see who is in the chat. Kay Hamad, welcome. Brian Stavely, which I'll bring on the call here shortly. He's back. Some special forces operation or something. He was on. He's going to tell us about that. Jay Rivers, Happy Horseshit, Pamela D, and account name Sweet dot 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 cuts it off. I can't read the whole name. Sorry about that. Yeah, and good. Well, what's going on here? We'll have to find out. We bring Brian up. So Brian does Real Talk, the Real News Online. .com is his site. And I'm going to patch him into the Skype call right now. We'll have a talk with Ryan Stavely. Ba, 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 ba. Oh, let's put in the screen name instead of the. See how that works. Ba, 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 ba. Brian.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
What's
how
up,
Chris?
How are you? Good.
Good. So you're back in action now?
Yeah, I'm trying to get back in the swing of things now. I had to take a little time away. I didn't think it was going to be as long as it was. I guess it's been almost 10 months, James told me today. The last time we did a show was like January.
So you did like a tour of duty in Iraq fighting ISIL or something like that, you tell me?
No, not quite.
Oh, okay. I was confusing that, yeah.
But I just got some new equipment, so I just got my new computer, and I got a new headset and a new keyboard on the way from Amazon that'll be here any day. So I haven't done, any shows, as you guys know, or whoever knows that's in here. Took a long time away. I need a little bit of a break. But now I want to get back on track, and we're going to do a show next week, actually. We're going to do a show on basically what we're going to do. Is we're going to do a media fakery show, but it's not going to be like a just 9/11 show. We're going to like basically, cover every event, that we can squeeze into a, 4 or 5 hour show, however long it goes. So everything from like, fake video, meaning, computer generated video, or completely staged, actors and completely staged witnesses or family members. So we're going to have stuff like the Charles Jaco and all the way to the fake planes on 9/11 to fake beheading videos to fake tsunamis to everything in between that you can think of,
Oh, right on. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, something good to come back. So, I haven't really been researching too much until the last few weeks. I don't really know what I want to talk about yet, and I don't think James or Justin really knows yet either. So I figure this is something we kind of know everything off the top of our head. But we'll get a little refresher while we're searching for the videos, and I'm putting the web page together for everybody to follow along and everything. So, it'll be good to go through all, even like, the moon hoax. I mean, there's all types of stuff that's going to be included in there. This goes back, I don't even know how many years, Maybe even back to JFK, who knows. I'm not going to touch that because I haven't put any research into that, but it could go back that far,
Yeah, sure.
Even father, who knows? I mean, some of the military videos that we see,
Well, you say you heard of the sinking of the Lusitania, right?
Yeah, I a little bit. Why don't you tell me a little about it?
I don't know a whole lot about it. The history, the official history behind it is the Lusitania was a passenger ship, and it was during, golly, man, this is how out of the loop I am. I think it was World War I, if I'm not mistaken. And it was... Now, Germany was involved in World War II, and we were allies were against Germany. So it must have been World War II. I might be wrong. Well, let me look it up anyway. Well, anyway, I'm getting it. I'm getting it confused with something else. I didn't know the history behind it, but I'll have to look it up to refresh my memory because I get some of this stuff mixed up sometimes.
I didn't mean to throw you off. The other thing, though, that's been good, even though I haven't been doing any shows or anything lately, there's been still a real lot of interest in this stuff. The numbers of the website have been pretty good. They haven't been as heavy on the audio side as they were, but a lot of people are reading the blogs and stuff. I was pretty impressed, considering we haven't put anything new up in a long time. I mean, I updated my 9/11 blog a little bit.
Yeah.
I wrote a few years ago because there wasn't really too much media fakery in that. It was because that's when we were kind of just coming across it. You know, there was a lot of stuff about the fake victims and, you know, the fake planes and everything like that. But as far as, you know, more media fakery and evidence of it, I didn't really have too many videos or anything. So I kind of linked people to my page for that. And then there's been just a lot of people that have been messaging me. Just a real lot of people that want to talk about 9/11. So I've been really busy with that the last, like, probably month or so, just getting back to people. It's been pretty crazy. I mean, just lots of messages every day from different people have been reading it and stuff and been thanking me for it. So I've been dying to get back on the radio. I haven't really known what to come on to talk about. My interest just hasn't been the same the last few months. But now it's getting back in there. You know, I've been taking the time to read and everything. And I just had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you're back on, and then Justin and James are going to be back on too.
Oh, yeah, they're ready to go. If anything, I was holding the three of us up, you know. They're ready to go. They're ready to rock. James will be a little late. We're going to go on the air next week at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Usually we do 10 o'clock. And I forgot the reason why James has to work. He's on such a wacky time zone in New Zealand. So he's going to be coming in a little late, probably around 10 or 11 minutes, maybe like halfway through. But we'll have plenty of stuff to talk about, so it'll flat through until he gets there.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of, it sounds like you got your phone inside a box of shredded wheat, and you're trying to find the, like, your phone is the prize in the bottom of the box of a shredded wheat, and you're like...
Ah, sorry. That's just for tonight, because I'm waiting for my headset. It's going to be here tomorrow, but I'm using my new tablet, and I'm doing, like, a speakerphone. But I got the headpiece in the ear, but I'm talking over, like, a speakerphone connection.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But you just have to deal with it for tonight. It's just for tonight. By tomorrow, I'll be good. I'll have my headset.
Let's see, I found that video. The first, like, whatever that, like, when you, I think you're moving or something, when you're moving around, it's
yeah, hitting. I was standing up then. I thought I could get away with it. How about, like, right now? It's a little better.
Yeah, it's hitting. Yeah, when you, it's like you're moving and then it's like something's rubbing against the microphone or something.
All right, I
don't know what that is.
I'll just stay put right here.
Yeah, stay perfect still, that. Brian. I'm trying to get this into the chat. Oh, yeah, I just want to put that in there because, like, you're talking about how far this stuff goes back, you know?
Oh, all right. Wow, 1950, huh?
Yeah, and that's it was World War One. I was right. So the passenger ship, the Germans sunk it. Because they said there was, like, armaments on board and all that. And so this is, like, the first kind of – well, I don't know if it's the first, but it's fake footage, stage with the actors and all that. And this was put in – this was put on to, you know, those – the newsreel footage for the movies and all that. And
Wow, I didn't think it went back this far. I thought at least probably like the 1930s, but wow, 1915, huh? That's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why it's so important to do a show on just the media fakery. And then I'm going to do another show maybe in a month or so just on Photoshop, you know, because that's used all the time too. And I'm trying not to do the two shows in one. It's kind of hard, but that show would just be too massive if I did that. But that's what they do. I mean, more often than not, it's not a false flag or what we, you know, we're told it's a hoax. Not all the time, and everything needs to be looked at individually. And we know that you can't just throw everything underneath that umbrella, but a lot of things turn out to be a hoax. So I'm not too surprised by this. I mean, I am by how far back it goes, but I mean, they do it with everything, Chris. I mean, what could you think of that I was leaving out? I mean, how about the shootings? I mean, the fake witnesses, Sandy Hook and Aurora, and the Gifford shooting. How's that for stage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this, if you kind of go back and you're looking at the, 1915, speaking of loose day, I mean, the first really major, so I guess the birth of big media, I guess I'll call it, you know, where you have like the Sun newspaper in New York City, back in the, that was in the late 1800s, when newspapers really got kicked off, where it was the printing press, the steam-powered printing press, and they were able to crank out like a shit ton of papers, and that was recognized as sort of the birth of mass media. Was around 1835, and the very first major news story that came out was the Great Moon Hoax, and that was total bullcrap, man. Of like,
oh man, that was insulting, you know?
Yeah, it's totally over the top.
Oh, you look at that now after looking at things like 9/11 and stuff, and it's like you really just look at it for a few days and you're pretty convinced. I mean, you're gonna keep looking to be sure after that, but I mean, really, it's really shoddy work. How about that Lunar Lander? That thing looks like it's a third grade art project made of paper mache and aluminum foil, some duct tape, construction paper.
No, it's silly, man. I mean, if you look at it now and you kind of got the modern sensibilities about you and just kind of people in general, I think, are more technologically savvy because they're kind of around technology, so they kind of got an intuitive sense of what would and what wouldn't work. So I think that's the reason why they don't want people looking at that footage now. They never show it. They never talk about it. They had Neil Armstrong. When you were talking about that on your one of your last shows about, because I think that was around the time that he died, right? And they never brought it up in the news, or they hardly made a mention of it.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That guy, okay, let's look at him for a second, Armstrong. So supposedly the first man to ever walk on the moon, whatever. All right, now, this guy, besides the interview they gave when they gave the press conference when they got back, and they're all sitting there, you know, at, you know, wherever they give the press conference in NASA, you know, down in Florida or wherever the hell it is. After he gave that, he never once gave an interview about his moonwalk. Like, this is the guy that walked on the moon. You got a guy like Michael Jordan who's probably given how many interviews? I don't know, 100,000 interviews? He shoots basketball. This guy supposedly walked on the moon. He should be the most interviewed man in the world. He should still be giving interviews all the time. Like, what's the matter? It's not interesting enough? I mean, seriously, he doesn't want to talk about it. Like, he's a hero. One of the big, if what he did, what they say he did, he really did, he's a hero. Why wouldn't he want to talk about this? It's amazing to me. I mean, literally, what place would not want to interview the guy that walked on the moon? I mean, he'd be everywhere, whenever he wants. Whenever he wants, he could be booked Monday through Friday on a show.
Yeah, that says a lot. Well, I mean, look at the news conference when the astronauts came back from Apollo 11. Their demeanor was and everything. They were
What about when they got asked about the stars? They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to say. And you can tell by now looking back, after you realize how Armstrong didn't give any interviews or anything, you know, maybe they picked him to, you know, play this part, but he really wasn't as good of the actor as they thought, or he had a guilty conscience or something. When he's sitting there, he looks by far the most uncomfortable out of everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about, was it Buzz Aldrin that threw the punch at the producer of the video there? The documentary? What happened on the other side of the moon or whatever it is?
Yeah, what's the guy's name?
Seymour or something? Is it Brad Siebel or something? Bart Siebel? Yeah.
Art
something
Siebel,
like that.
Yeah.
Siebel. Yeah. Was that Aldrin that threw the puck down? That was crazy. And the guy was being a little over the top, but he was right. I mean, I don't agree with all the swear on the Bible crap that he was throwing at him. That was a little much, but he really did not want to swear on the Bible about walking in the moon. He was pretty pissed off about that. He threw a punch at him. He's like an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, 80-year-old man throwing a like a knockout jab almost. It hit pretty damn hard.
Yeah.
But they got really, really uptight.
That's
and so did Ed Mitchell. Ed Mitchell's the guy that's trying to pump up UFO shit and all this other nonsense about seeing aliens on the moon and seeing UFOs on the moon.
Oh, that's him. He's the same guy.
Ed Mitchell is who I'm talking about. That he went to Ed Mitchell's house, and Ed Mitchell was like threatening to, I guess, have the CIA whack him or something like that. Or his son said something like, "Yeah, should we call the CIA and have him whack?" I don't know if that was all put on or what.
I
don't know.
I remember hearing about that. I didn't know if I really believed that when I heard it, though.
Yeah, I don't. Well, that's in his documentary, I'm pretty sure. But you have to take that with some degree of skepticism too. You know.
Yeah, that's
his whole thing.
Yeah.
But if that's put on though, if they're acting like Ed Mitchell's acting and Buzz Aldrin's acting, they're
Buzz
damn
Aldrin,
good acting.
If that's acting, that's the best.
Yeah.
Thing that these standard people.
They would be up there with like.
That's no Holly guy.
Arrow.
That's no Holly guy or Robbie Costa.
Oh yeah, they blow all that. They would be way better actors than.
That one still cracks me up. We're going to definitely touch on that next week for sure. The Sandy Hook one's going to have some, there's quite a few parent videos where they're just all jovial. Every single one of them, you know? They're all laughing. If they're not laughing, they're smiling. It's just, I've never seen such an event with no tears. It was amazing to me. And anybody that's listened to the video before, there's a lot more evidence than that. But that just on the surface right there just gives it away. You know, it's just awful, awful acting jobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that to me was the clincher was that, you know, if you just took nothing else but that and then the footage of the witness testimony of the kids.
Yo, yeah. Do you remember the kid that was on the talk show and he was talking about how they were making them all file outside or do whatever, and he slipped up and he said the truth. He said that they made them, us go under the desks because of the drill, and then the guy corrected him and he changed it into the shooting or whatever.
Yeah, he said, the kid was a little bit, you could tell he was nervous, and he was like, he was trying to remember what he was supposed to say, and he says, "Oh yeah, it was like a lot of policemen there, like when we do drills."
Yeah, I'll grab the video while you're explaining it too. Actually, I have it on my thing over here. Yeah, that was a good video.
But that is so sloppy though. I mean, they take this kid, he's on national TV and all that, and they ran with that. They went ahead and aired it.
Oh, they removed it.
Eventually remove it.
Yeah, Dr. Oz, yeah, they took it down. The link's dead right now.
I think it probably got out there, and these people in the media are just so dead to the world on all this shit. They're just kind of sleepwalking. And this stuff gets out. I mean, it just gets out there. And it's like there's a high percentage of people that aren't paying attention, and they're just gonna buy into this stuff, and they're not gonna question it. And there's no reason to like get really detail centered on, you know, pulling these things off, because all you need is like a few people to get in front of a camera and say, "Oh yeah, I heard gunshots. I didn't know that there was somebody inside the building shooting an AR-15 until it came through the intercom, and then we were all aware that I'd say, okay, wait a minute, lady, what did you just say? Somebody was inside a school shooting an AR-15, and then according to other witnesses saying hundreds of rounds, and it, that's just not something that you're going to be, like, necessarily aware of right off the bat. You know, you're just kind of, it's going to be up in the, it's just going to be, you know what I mean? It's like, and then the kids are saying, oh, it sounded like somebody kicking a door. It sounded like we thought it was the janitor in the closet, dropping cans. And then that was consistent with a lot of what they said. And then like the stuff that came out later in the day was, talking about gunshots, but yeah. it was like from some really, you could tell the kids had been coached and they were just basically reciting what they were told to say. And they
told you the assault rifle was locked in the car in the glove box. Remember that story?
Yeah, there was all these inconsistencies, and there was a pretty good explanation I heard from somewhere they were talking about it. They said as to why that's done like that, because, you know, it's all contrived and put on. But they put all conflicting information out into the media.
It's like 9/11. I think that's just to keep us all divided, the people that are looking, so we can't agree on anything.
Yeah, it creates distraction, division, and they say, too, like, what – when the media is putting out a bunch of conflicting information like that, that people just, their brains just tend to shut down. Like they just, they know something's wrong. They can't quite figure out what's wrong. They're getting told contradictory stuff. Oh,
like after the marathon, remember how contradictory that stuff was coming up? Yeah, when they were chasing the guy through water towers, supposedly, after the marathon bombing. That's just piled on contradictory information.
Yeah, just one thing after another, they were contradicting themselves.
Oh, yeah, one thing after another. Even worse than seeing, because, I mean, watching it live, it was 2, 3 in the morning. You know, everyone around here was watching it live. And, man, it was just one thing. One sentence, they'd say one thing, and then 30 seconds later, they contradicted. Oh, they just kept going back and forth. The story just kept more dramatic. And then it was these guys were, like, throwing freaking grenades up the car, basically, and doing drive-bys and running people. Oh, it was just... it was insane the way it was going. I was like, there is no way. You know, no way. And that, there was fake video that day, too. I don't know how much of the whole thing was fake, but I do know that the video showing them with the backpacks walking through the crowd was fake. That was just a bunch of transitions put together. It wasn't even a real video. It was just a bunch of pictures put together in a sequence. And that's why it looks like a really, really bad frame rate, but it's really a transition with a bunch of spills. And then if you look at it, I mean, I've been down there. I went down there this year to get a feel for the marathon, you know.
Yeah.
And you are not getting anywhere near the finish line that they were walking freely through. They weren't even like walking shoulder to shoulder with people. You know what I'm saying? They had all this space around them when they showed them with the backpacks.
Yeah.
Those videos were bogus. Those are fake videos. That's another example right there.
Because when the marathon's going on, it's just packed, right?
Totally packed, dude. And especially near where they were, or where they allegedly were. You can't get anywhere near there walking freely like that.
And this was that was this year you went down there?
Yeah, I went down there this year.
Okay,
yeah.
Think about that. So they had this horrendous bombing.
People are probably scared now, you know, less people.
I know, yeah, there's probably more people. Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. There's probably more people at the day of the bombing because now people have, wouldn't they be kind of like a little bit worried maybe about doing that?
Yeah,
but
it's still packed. I couldn't get as close as they were. I got like maybe a half mile from where they were, but it was just a sea of people, man. You couldn't move at all, you know? You couldn't move at all. And I forget who the user was. I might still have the video, but, you know, he did a good job dissecting that video. And there's actually a thing you can do with the video effect on YouTube. And you can put still pictures in a transition to make like a video. And that's all they did. They put like a ghost effect on these guys when they were walking. And it made it look like a video with like the worst frame rate you ever seen. That's not what it was. And then there's a million other things with that there, you know, besides that. Obviously, you know. That's a whole show in itself. A whole bunch of them.
Have you had a chance to like talk to people around the area and stuff that you know and like get?
Yeah, I got a couple of stories about that, actually. I hear a lot of stories about this person, know somebody, this person, know somebody, of course, you know. There's actually somebody that is mutual friends with a lot of friends of mine.
Uh-huh.
Definitely a real person. 100%. He's definitely a real person. And they put this guy out there on TV at the Bruins game, right? So I see him throwing out the first pitch, all this shit. And the thing is, though, he was supposedly, like, directly hit with the bomb blast almost, and he, like, lost half his hearing or something, and he took, like, shrapnel to the face. And, you know, he got a few weeks later after the game throwing out the pitches, which is odd enough. You'd think he'd be recovered. But I see this dude at the gym all the time. And he don't look one bit injured to me at all. I know it's been a while, but I started seeing him there just, like, a month after, you know? A month after he started coming to the gym, I was at all the time. And he did have a scratch or two on his forehead that looked consistent with what they were showing, because that was a little bit far, you know? But he didn't seem to have any bad injuries or nothing, or any trouble hearing.
Oh, you saw him after that?
Oh, I see him a couple times a week.
At the gym?
He goes to the gym I go to.
And you talk to him?
I've talked to him a couple times, but I don't know him good enough to bring that up yet. It's going to cause a big problem in there if I do, amongst my other friends. So I'm just, like, feeling them out right now. We're just... seeing what he says, and I'm waiting for him to bring it up, but I'm not gonna bring it up yet. I'm gonna try and like coyly bring it up to him, you know?
Yeah.
I brought it up to one of my friends that's a friend with him when he was supposedly in the hospital, and all I said to her was, since he's supposedly out of the hospital after being real close to the blast, he's out of the hospital in like a day. And I said, oh, at least this guy's out of the hospital, you know, your friend. And I got like tweaked out on, you know, so I was like, oh, I'm not gonna. You know what I mean? I'll just keep that amongst us. I'm not going to talk to my friends about it. It's not even worth it.
Yeah.
You could
spot them and then say, and then like when you're holding the bar over his neck, say, man, you got to tell me the truth about the Boston bombing.
That'd be awesome. And then I do hear other stories about some people that I know pretty good who supposedly know a girl that went to school with, like, their kid. But, you know, that's a person who knew a person, and you know how that goes. So I don't really know about that, you know. I mean, was it a false flag or some fakery? I don't know, you know. I was always kind of on the fence about it. Justin and James were, you know, totally, you know, 100% fakery a little quicker than I was, too. I mean, I don't know. They think it's because I live close, which could be true, you know. Maybe I'm a little hesitant on it, but I definitely see some stuff. I don't buy Bauman at all for a minute. What do you think about Bauman?
Well, he was supposedly rescued by that Carlos Arendo guy, the cowboy hat Mexican dude.
Yeah.
He's from Colombia or whatever. And, so that guy has got a kind of real shady background. There was a video done about him I thought was really good. I had it posted on my blog. And, but, you know, what's the likelihood, okay, of this guy? He was kind of not really high profile in the media or anything, but kind of like a sort of a crusader, like an anti-war crusader. And then he turns out to be the hero. And then like they pointed out one thing I thought that was like, it pretty much destroys his whole story. He says, like, I picked up Bauman, like, single-handedly. And then even the Bauman says it. He said, oh, yeah, Carlos picked me up single-handedly and got me onto the wheelchair. But there's photographs of, like, a group of people picking
him up. Yeah, absolutely. And I can picture it right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then you, like, look at, okay, Bauman's got both of his legs float off, and he's laying on his back, and they're tending to everybody else but him. They take the woman next to him, and they put her on a stretcher and drag her off.
Would it be as dramatic? You know, they got to leave him out there for everybody to see.
Yeah, they take him after she's already gone and cleared out, so that took some minutes, and he's, like, laying on the ground, blood spurting, allegedly spurting out of his arteries that whole time. And then, like, of all things, they're going to take him up and put him on a wheelchair and wheel him down the road. There's no way that I can believe that, man.
You're not supposed to move them like that.
No, you had a – but it's like they had a stretcher there. They got the guy with his legs gone, and they put the lady in the stretcher, and they put him on a wheelchair. That's obviously to parade him down in front of everybody for photo ops. There's no other way that could be. So I cannot believe that's real. I just can't. And then like this, the Carlo, the cowboy hat hero guy, he's an immigrant. And then like that video talked about, he was on the talk show circuit. And that, and then, you know, that just happens to prop up this ideology, you know, or to get people to accept the illegal immigration, or to get that kind of. I'm not saying that that's the whole reason why the Boston bombing was done or anything like that, but that was like a nice convenient little side issue that could be propped up by him being a illegal immigrant and all that.
There's a lot of other things too, like the lens crackers with the glass blown out. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. There's just so much stuff on that, but that's kind of the clincher for me. I mean the guy with the legs and the wheelchair, and he's everything I've read and stuff, it's like you're not going to be doing too good after you've...
No, he was at the Bruins game within 30 days, I think. I mean, really? With legs already thin and stuff. I would think that takes a while to get those things in, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
And to be in any type of condition to be rolling around out on the ice. I mean, in a big crowd, in a crowded building with like 20,000 people, however many people are in the Boston Garden or the Fleet Center or whatever it's called now, really? Like, is that the last place you're gonna want to meet in a big crowd in Boston? You were just in the big crowd in Boston for a sporting event and had your legs blown off 4 weeks ago. You're really gonna want to be at the Bruins game?
Yeah, really.
I mean,
I
really?
So.
That's the last place you're gonna want to be, dude. Besides maybe the Red Sox game, there's more people, and he was there too.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely at all. No, I don't believe it. I just don't.
Yeah. So I think, you know, with everything we talked about, and I probably first ran into you now probably close to 4 or 5 years, and that with everything we talked about, you know, so many things have media fakery involved. I think that's one of the most important things we could talk about, you know? I mean, that's the key to so many things, you know? And people are so manipulated by it. I have, if I could tell a story real quick about a friend. You mind?
No, go ahead.
So I have a friend, I won't use any names, but she lives in Florida now, and she came back up here for somebody's wedding, whatever, so we went out for breakfast the other day, you know? And, you know, she's one of my friends that doesn't get into stuff at all, probably thinks I'm wacky by my Facebook posts or whatever, but she don't really say nothing about it. She made a comment here or there before, but she made some comment about how she's scared for a kid because of the ISIS and stuff, and I'm like, you're not really scared of these behaviors, you know, are you? I mean, really? And she's like, oh, what do you mean? I'm like, and I was telling her there's, like, fake videos and everything, and my friend who's sitting there with me, he's aware of this stuff now. Once I started showing him some things, he's kind of gone in his own direction. He's really into the food and the health with your body area, and he really knows the stuff now. And so we're sitting there, and we're trying to tell her that, yeah, the media lies. So you mean the media lies to us? That's what she really said. And I was like, yeah. And she just started commenting on how scary the videos were. And I was like, I knew what answer I was going to get when I asked it. So I said, what did you think when you saw the video? She said, I didn't see the video. She said, my mother told me, blah, blah, blah. I was like, do you see how this works now? Does everybody see how that works? People just go by word of mouth, and they form an opinion based on something they haven't even seen. And then you got these other trolls out here on the internet. And so I'll call them trolls. I don't care. They're not trolls all the time. I mean, they're just trolls, you know? You got these trolls out here on the internet that will disagree with everything you say and call you all types of names, but they will not debate one piece of evidence you put forth. All they want to do is have their questions answered. You can't ask them anything, and then you're just wacky. And they just look horrible. On 9/11 this past, so you know how that goes. You know, the traffic goes up a little bit, the interest goes up. So on 9/11, I logged on at probably, you know, right around noontime. And by 1:30, 2 o'clock, I had five people tell me that they knew people that died on 9/11. So
yeah.
out, of Yeah, out of the five people, there was this one girl. We were in this. This is what I was trying to tell you earlier, but it's a lot easier if I just talk it out, because we were in this group. It was actually a Sandy Hook group. But people were asking me about 9/11 because they knew I talked about it. Somebody might be using it. So we had a little thread going. And she came in saying she knew people, blah, 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 blah. So I just asked her, oh, what were their names? And she wouldn't say. She dodged the question like we've never seen. More than anybody who's ever seen dodge a question. Like, she dodged it 15 times, and other people asked her. And then she was like, I'm not going to. What did she say? Oh, I didn't know you asked me. And, like, we asked her 20 times a minute. So then I'm sitting there, and I get a private message from her. Instead of being in the post where everybody can read it, and she tells me, what did you want to know? I just don't like answering questions in front of all those people. I was like, I want to know who close to you that died. And
yeah.
She said, oh, I didn't know you wanted to know that. She was like, I knew hundreds of people that died. I said, oh, really? I was like, well, out of all, I tried to be nice to her about it, but I knew she was totally full of shit, obviously. So I was like, who was close, you know, who hurt your feelings the most, like the deepest flaw, that's a question I asked her. And she didn't have anybody. And then she changed it to, well, she's like, I knew hundreds of people that died, but I don't like talking in front of all these people, so I'm going to go back on that post. I'm going to delete all my questions and all my posts. And then she tells me, I know between me and my family, I knew thousands of people. I said thousands. So you're really telling me you and your family knew thousands of the less than 3,000 supposed people. You knew thousands of them. I was like, can you give me one name? And she did. And then she went back out on the forum and told everybody she didn't say all that. And dude, it was crazy. She made these people that got to the victims look like absolute idiots. And this went on all day. So out of the five people that told me that within an hour and a half, you know how many names I got, right?
Like, no names, probably.
No names, not even one. Nobody even tried to come up with one. Nobody even named one up and tried to throw at me. Everybody was just, I'm not, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm not telling you. I don't want to involve them. Or, you know what I mean? It was just like, all right, whatever, you know?
No, they never do leave names. I've had, I don't know, at least, there's a couple of 9/11 videos that I have up on my YouTube, and I get comments on them, and I get the same kind of comment from people who will say, yeah, my aunt, like I'm the most recent one. It's like, oh yeah, what do you have to say about my aunt? Where is she? She died on 9/11. And you don't even have, I didn't even have to respond back because people already immediately like ask her, okay, you had an aunt, like what was her name? And of course she doesn't say, I've had that happen about six or eight times on that one particular video where they come on, they say the same thing. If you go to their account on YouTube, they have no uploads,
yep.
No activity. And, not that necessarily everybody on YouTube is going to have like visible account activity, but why is it that every time somebody comes up there and makes a claim like that, their account is always empty? Or it's always like an account that was created like 4 months ago or 2 months ago. And there's no other activity, no other comments other than to go on and say, oh, yeah, my uncle's landlord's sister died on 9/11. I know that for a fact, or something like that. You know, they never get specific, and they never give names.
There's somebody that I'm actually friends with. He's more of a – he's real tight with one of my best friends more than me and him are friends, but, you know, we're friends. And he goes in my Real News Online group on Facebook. He never goes in there. I didn't even know he's a member. I wouldn't have invited him because I know he's totally against it. And we were talking about 9/11 or whatever, and he writes a comment on there. He called us all a bunch of heartless fucks. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute, dude. What do you mean? And I was like, so this is what I did. I pulled out pictures of I didn't say anything about fake deaths, nothing. I didn't mention any details to him, but I pulled out CGI, pictures of the victims, like from the memorials, you know, and compared them and showed them how they were photoshopped. Like, I do agree, these photos, that was obviously photoshopped. I'm like, so why would anybody Photoshop or let their children be Photoshopped before being put in a memorial, let alone let it happen all these times? Like, what would be the reason? That would be the most disrespectful thing ever to do. And why are, like, hundreds and hundreds of people's pictures not even in there? It's just a scandal. You know, I mean, in this day and age, when you can just email a goddamn picture, this is just no excuse for it. And then he's like, well, my wife's cousin died on 9/11. I said, oh, so you guys are fucking retarded, blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, yeah, what's her name? And he didn't even know her name. And I'm like, so you're going to call us heartless fucks and blah, blah, blah. And you're defending somebody who supposedly died, and you don't even know their name, yet you're agreeing with my evidence that something's going on. So something should hit a switch in your brain now. But you'd rather just call me names and look. And then he waited like an hour, came back with a name, right?
Yeah.
I looked it up. It was a real name from the, I don't know if he just dug it up or if that's really the person they're trying to say. But the person was on 175, supposedly. So right there, throw it in the trash. You know what I mean?
I mean,
we know, if anything, before anything, out of all the supposed victims, anybody that's on 175 is a fraud. That's where I stand as far as the victims go.
Yeah, did you read that article that was on
I kind of poked around it a little bit. I didn't get to read it because I got a little bit busy after I talked to you. But I was looking at it, but I really didn't get too deep into it, no.
Yeah, Marcus sent me that, and we were talking about it on last week. And,
I'm going to need that link again, actually, too. I forgot to share it, so I want to get that out there. That's really good.
Yeah, basically what it says is talking about is over 350 people canceled flights on 9/11, right? I mean, come on, give me a break. More people than were scheduled to fly canceled.
Yeah.
And I haven't went through, you know, I was going to go through and kind of look at these and look where they're sourced. They're all linked to news stories that are out there.
And I think that's a red herring, and that's just to make, you know, that's to make the so-called conspiracy theorists, but the people that won't go deep enough to look into fake deaths, that's to make them satisfied that people died on the planes. You know what I mean?
But, you know, if that's true, like there's been over 350 people that claim to have canceled the flight and averted death on 9/11, and a lot of these people, a disproportionate amount of, like, celebrities, the people in the industry, in the film industry, like CEOs of corporations, like high profile people.
Yeah.
If that's true that all of them canceled flights, what scenario could you imagine where that would even be plausible at all? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, what I'm saying is it's like one of those things for the people that want to say 9/11 is an inside job, but you want them to okay, the people that believe the official story are never going to look at that information anyways. They're going to believe the official story and not going to believe anything nefarious is going on. The people that are looking into it like we're looking into it, okay, we know that we look at stuff like fake 175, fake deaths, we know these people are fake. But a lot of the people in the truth movement, I don't even want to touch fake deaths, even still. And so they think planes, you know, got hijacked. And, you know, maybe, you know, they were government agents hijacked the planes. Maybe they were drones. And everything. Some of these people really think passengers got offloaded and killed somewhere. So they hear a story like this. This gives it more layers. Like, oh, look, these celebrities are in on it. You know, they canceled their flights, but these regular civilians stayed on the plane and got killed. It makes the flights more legit. You know what I mean? Not to us, but some people.
Well, yeah, it reminds me, too, of I did some research into this, and this was like a couple of years ago on the anniversary of 9/11. They put a story out in the newspaper, the local newspaper here, about a woman who had moved here from New York who had a brother that died on 9/11, right? And it got me to thinking I don't know what
tug at the heartstrings a little bit still, you know, making reminded of it.
Well, another thing too, I noticed a pattern when I went up and I looked. I searched on the internet. I put in a. I'm trying to remember what I put in to get this information, but in other words, it pulled up every. It pulled up all these. I put in the title. I made it similar to the title that was in the paper, and it came up that there was newspapers all across the country that were running a very similar story where they were going and interviewing an alleged family member, and the story was basically the same, only the people were changed. So the story was, yeah, they had a family member that died on 9/11, and they moved here from out of town, and now they're a local. And then it's a local news story.
So they recycled it in a bunch of different parts of the country.
Yeah, they just recycled it in different parts of the country. And I said, I bet you, and I was got to thinking about it, I said, I bet you that everywhere there's a major military base, there's one of these stories. And sure enough, like, every town that had a big base, every one of them had a story like that.
It's easy to get people in on it around there because they're in the military. I get you. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it was just and then I got on the phone and I called the reporter that not the one that did the local story. I don't think I couldn't get a hold of him. But I got a hold of somebody from another town that did a very similar story. And then I asked him. It was just like a very straightforward. I said, okay, when you get these people, it's like how do you vet them? Like how do you know that they actually had an actual family member that died on 9/11? And that dude got pissed, man. And like he threatened me because he said, "Are you recording this call?" And blah blah blah.
Oh,
he got
man.
Pissed. And I wish I would have went ahead and just recorded the call and posted it because it was pretty good. Because he got really mad. And people are just gonna have to believe me. That happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I when I asked him about it, I mean, it's just a really straightforward question. It's like. It's like, you know, how do you double check this? Because I was just saying, like, you know, you're aware that there was like an imposter that got busted out. And she was like one of the people that was heading up the victim survival committee or whatever, and she got busted out as being a fraud. She didn't even have a family member. So like, how do you know it's not one of them? Like, you know, you're running the stories. He got pissed, man. Like, he didn't like that question at all. And that's when he. You know, he was, like, threatening to come after me and all this other bullshit.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's how this stuff works. I mean, you could – I guess these people are hired. I don't know what work, but, you know, that will pose as a victim's family member, and they just run stories on them, and, you know, they're – You know, there exists these secret society networks, I'm telling you. I mean, that's where I believe a lot of this stuff comes out of. I mean, Freemasons or whatever these groups that are running these kind of scams. That's obviously a scam. I mean, how are you going to be able to consistently get this nationwide push to run these very similar news stories and then have them all... every single major newspaper in a town that has a major military base is going to be running a very similar story. How do you even manage that? For one thing, you would have to track down these people that moved there from New York, or they would all have to just coincidentally contact the news station and say, I want to give my story. And, yeah, actually, I take it back. When they supposedly killed Osama bin Laden, right? Like,
the whole Saddam thing, too. We're going to talk about that next week, actually, because the Saddam, remember the execution? That did not look real to me at all.
Oh, Saddam getting hung?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, well, the video was so, it was so poor quality. I mean, it could have been. I don't know. They could have been milking a cow. I don't know what the hell is going on in that video. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like.
Did you see the newest supposed beheading where the camera fades to black when the guy puts the knife to his throat, and then when it comes back, they just show the dude's legs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's
no,
a good one.
okay, so this is like allegedly a real beheading, right?
Yeah, this is exactly.
It kind of worried me because I watched it. I hawked it down. I finally found it, and I watched it. And I knew it was going to be fake, so I wasn't going to be seeing anything real. I saw real shit on there. I mean, it doesn't bother me anyway. I watched it. And, so he's got the knife on his neck. Yeah, and it fades to black. So they edit out the actual part where he's, you know, allegedly he's going to get his head cut.
Yeah, maybe that was too gruesome for the terrorists. You know, they didn't want to film that.
Yeah, the terrorists are going to want to cut that part out and not let people come on now. It kind of worried. It kind of worried me because it's like, this can pass.
That's what I was saying. And you know, I had people commenting on that, friends of mine that were like scared of ISIS because of things like this. That's when I had to say something. I didn't want to talk about anything at breakfast. I only see this person a couple times a year. You know, I didn't want to talk about that stuff. And she said that I had to say something. Then she started talking because she flew on 9/11, so she started talking how great it is to fly on 9/11 because the airport's empty, but she knows why it's empty because people are all scared because these terrorists are going to blow us up and all this and that. I was like, oh, I was ready to kill myself, dude. I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it's just too, I get worried, like, when I realize, like, they could put this out there and then they could convince, well, at least they're convinced that enough people will be convinced that that's real. And, you know, it came out, there was like several news stories that came out that said, yeah, this is fake footage. Like experts are saying, that's what the media had. They like backtracked on it and they said, this is, but it doesn't matter. It still goes on. It's still in the paper. The beheadings of blah, 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 the beheadings of the journal. There's another beheading. And they still go forward with it like it never.
People pick up on one piece, Chris. They'll still brush off the other four or five pieces. It's crazy. I've showed some people that and got them to agree with me that that's bullshit. But then they still look at other shit. And you know what makes me mad? These are the people that make me mad. I have some good friends of mine. I'm going to put names out there, all right? Really good friends of mine, people I care about. And they're really all fired up because they own firearms. So they get fired up about, you know, anti-gun laws. And they make posts, but their posts are all about, you know, how the government's trying to take their guns. They're talking about with legislation and stuff or whatever, and they won't look at something like a Sandy Hook or an Aurora or these actual events that the government will do to take their guns. It's like, you guys want to talk about it, but you won't look at the root of the problem, and it's sitting there slapping you right in the face, and you'd rather look at this fake political system instead of the fake media that they're putting the propaganda in front of all of you and brainwashing you. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be good. It just... I mean, look at the sinking of the Lusitania, and that's pretty good. That's 1950.
Yeah, especially back then. I mean, you know, who's going to doubt of any video back then? You know, it doesn't even really have to be good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it didn't even have to be as good as it was. But, you know, it's obviously acting and fake. But, you know, for what it is, it's, I mean, the quality of it is a lot better than what we get now. It's like, I guess they know that people are going to believe this shit. And if they don't believe it, like people who look at the beheading videos or who are kind of up on stuff and they're like, man, that's fake. I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. Because there's enough people out there that they're just going to roll forward with it, and they're going to do all these military actions or whatever based on it, and it doesn't matter that the videos were fake and they were and the papers come out with stories saying they were fake.
Crazy, right?
No, that's a good. It's a good illustration of how the media, the concept of it, doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know what I mean? It's a flawed premise. The whole idea of a mass media.
People think they have this some sort of oath like to you know, get enough holding to report to you what's really going on. And people don't understand that how easily they're just an arm of the government and the military. I mean, really, they're just a propaganda machine. And you know, we know things like how six huge corporations own pretty much almost all media, over 90% of it in this country. And you try to tell people that, they don't even really think about what that means. But, I mean, it's just so easily controlled. I mean, really. I mean, six corporations? So you're telling me, basically, with compartmentalization and the trickle-down effect, you control six CEOs, you control the whole entire media, basically. That's not hard.
Well, it you can even put out there that there's fake video out there that's being acted upon for, oh, another war or military action or whatever the hell they're doing. I haven't been following that.
Oh, did you see, speaking of that, I don't mean to cut you off, but I don't want to lose the thought of it. The new thing, the Danny from Syria video, have you seen that?
I don't think so.
I got to get you that. It's a really good one. It's he's supposedly in Syria. They're getting bombed or whatever in his neighborhood, and this is such so bad for us. So he everywhere he goes, it's so staged. He's got like these rockets flying on the ground. It shows everybody the rockets.
Is that something that came out? During the bullshit with Syria.
Last 6 months, 10 months, within this year. So he got all these different. He happens to be the guy that gets interviewed randomly by everybody, the RT, press team, whoever. You know, all these different agencies over there, CNN. So, anyways, this is the best one. He's doing an interview outside his house, right? There's a guy filming him, and then all of a sudden, Danny says, "You hear this big, huge noise, and it sounds like a bomb or whatever in the distance." And the cameraman doesn't even pan over to look at what the explosion was. You can tell that the explosion was just dubbed in after, you know? And when they go in the house, this is the best. So Danny's like, all my friends, they're dying in the street. I walk through the street. You got to try to remove bodies, but you can't because the sniper will kill you. Oh, this big dramatic story, right? And then he's like, this person died. He's showing you his dead friends on the ground. One of the guys that he shows you as dead on the ground was such a bad actor, he couldn't help but blink. He's supposed to be dead and he blinked on camera.
Oh, shit. Really?
This guy that put all over the place as being in the middle of Syria in the middle of all these conflicts. He was digging up millennials. Yeah, so it's terrible. I got to get you that video. It's a really convincing one. Like, it's obvious that this guy is staged. I'm not saying nothing's going on there, but whatever this guy is showing you is going on is all bullshit. He's got little rockets he brings with a prop set, and he lays them around and around next to him, like his rocket shell everywhere in the street.
Was it Anderson Cooper interviewing him?
I think Anderson Cooper did.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, it's.
You got a kid that's been 20 with a baseball cap?
Yeah, I think I saw that. Uh-huh.
Anderson Cooper, that's what he goes by. And he goes around and shows you dead bodies of his friends in line and sitting there blinking on the ground. He's getting older.
Yeah, they call him Syria Dan or something like that.
I'll get you the video. Somebody gave it to me the other day. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's a classic case. A just shoddy, fake bullshit.
I got the video. It's a good one. It's 13 minutes, and it's well worth watching all of it. There is so much bullshit in it. Once you see the dead person that's not dead, it's like 6 or 7 minutes in. You're like, this is unbelievably fake. You already get the report on them, and all the stuff after. It's insulting how bad this is. This is the current thing. This is the fake video that they're using right now. Bobby Ruggs is in the chat. What's up, Bobby? Thanks for coming over. So this is that Danny from Syria video. If anybody want to grab that link, you guys are going to want to save that. That's good. That's a perfect example of fake video that they're using right now. Stage video. It's not fake video, like computer generated or anything. But they did dub in audio, and they did, you know, they staged the whole thing. And it's really insulting to your intelligence. He's like, I gotta walk over my dead friends. I can't pull them to the side of the road because the snipers will take me out. Let me show you what I go through. My dead friends are all on the floor. And they show you the first couple, they look bloody or whatever. Looks like it might be real. Then you get to like the fourth kid. He's laying there on his back and he blinks. And I lost it right there. I just thought it was dying last.
He's supposed to be dead, and he's like, yeah, you gotta not blink, man. Come on.
Oh, dude, it was bad.
You're dead.
That was bad. I'm gonna add that to the playlist. I'm gonna play that next week. Candy from Syria.
Can't be blinking.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Can you share that link so I can tell people about it a little bit real quick? Oh, you already actually spoke about it. Can you share that link? The 300 people plus the celebrities that canceled their flights?
Yeah, let me grab it. Let's see.
I had a couple people join that I'd like to give them that link too.
All right. Let's see. Let me go back to my. I think that's a good one. That's for the coincidence theorists. They like the big time coincidences. That's a good one for them.
What, the 300 something people one?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I like that. I need to put that on my site.
Yeah, and their stories. It's like for plane huggers, they're going to say, oh, yeah, that's proof that all these people
That's the point I was making earlier. For the plane huggers, this is like more stuff for them to chew into, you know?
Yeah, but then, like I was telling Marcus, if you think about it, if you really think about this, this, like, destroys the plane theory.
In the way
that, okay, the planes were like all 20% manned, right? According to the official.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they say. So you have to
20% capacity.
Yeah, 20%. Like they're all like 20% capacity or something.
Yeah, maybe a little more, but yeah, there were like 200 people between four planes. So.
Yeah, so you have to believe that all these people canceled their flights to the point where the plane was empty practically. And then no issue was made out of that. Like, okay, how do we have just about everybody on the plane cancel? And then coincidentally, they canceled in a way so that there was enough people on the plane to still do the flight, and then all equally be.
I think plane huggers will still call that a coincidence.
Another coincidence you have to buy into. And then, like, a lot of these stories are, like, they didn't get tipped off. They were saying, well, I overslept, I blah, 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 I did this and did that. So either they're lying, so that shoots their testimony down because they're lying, obviously, or they really did miss a flight because they overslept or whatever. And that's a fantastic coincidence if you have, like, a more than, like, let's say 50 of those people saying that I – just happened to miss my, or you got 350, let's say 100 are people that just happened to miss their flight. I mean, give me a break, man. There's just no way that this could plausibly pan out if you're thinking it through. The only logical explanation for that, if you can go down through that list and you can vet those stories that those are actually out there floating around in the media and stuff like that, and they're online, which everyone I've checked out does.
Yeah.
Then that is, to me, hard proof that at least that is bullshit.
Yeah, you have a different train of thinking than these other people, though. You know what I mean? They're going to be stopping about that. I know what you're saying, of course.
No, yeah, if you're able to break it down to just, you know, good common sense and logic, it destroys the plane theory. But if you're just kind of like looking at it on a surface level and you're like a real, well, I mean, you have to really believe in coincidences though. Or of course somebody's going to say, well, all these people were tipped off. You know, they were tipped off and told not to fly. And that's why they didn't fly.
What, at the last minute, come on, they got phone calls, don't get on the plane, all of them.
But let's just say that was the case. Let's say that's possible. Okay, you have to explain why so many celebrities, why so many prominent people. That doesn't make any sense. Just happen to be on those.
Yeah, that's to get the story more legs, in my mind, you know?
Yeah, that's
not what they want you to think. That's the real
Yeah, because like what I was talking about with Marcus, those stories were never ever meant to be read in a list like that. They were never be able to be. They were never
exactly
taken as a whole body of evidence and perused over like that. They were never. That was never the intention.
It's crazy that they didn't think that it would get put together like that at some point.
Yeah, and so
they're
outside
of God's plan.
Yeah, so whoever did that, whoever put that on their blog, I mean, that was a real, real good legwork there on hawking all those down. That's awesome. And, I think that's a pretty strong piece of circumstantial evidence that undermines the no plane,
the plane
hugger theories, and then of course it's definitely strong proof that there's these phony stories out there to prop up 9/11.
I just can't believe there's still people that believe in the planes when you have slam dunk visual evidence of 175 and fraudulent. The pitch is missing wing, many, many shots where it's halfway in the building and it's not sharing a pot, and the building's not even broken. Like, where is the logical sense in that? If you go through a wall, the hole has to happen right away. Like, there's hardly any footage of 11, and there's, like, you know, two, maybe three videos, and a couple of them you can't really see anything at all. You know, one's from real far away, whatever, down the street. But there's that one shot of 11 that's in the not 8, you know? And you can see.
175 was the second plane that hit.
Flight 11. Right. Flight 11 hit. I'm talking about Flight 11 now, but there's only like that one good video of it in the not 8. And Flight 11 supposedly hits the North Tower. And after it hits it, there's no hole right away. But later on, you see that wing tip shaped hole that extends to the right side of the building. Now, when the plane first goes in or whatever, there's an explosion. There's not even a hole until like 5 or 6 seconds. And then the wingtip thing is actually drawn in. You can see the black line being drawn in, and it takes like almost 20 whole seconds for that wingtip hole to appear. So somebody please just tell me how that can't be instantaneous.
Yeah, it
cuts through. I mean, it makes the hole right away. I mean, how can anybody buy that it would take 20 seconds? You couldn't even buy that it would take 2 seconds. It has to be boom right away. Boom, boom, boom. There's no 20 seconds. If you see the line, if you look real closely, you have the camera pan. Luckily, there's been a couple of people on YouTube that, you know, took that video and cropped it and panned it for you. You can see it. And you can see, and I know that Simon had some stills up on his site. I have those pictures. You know, one from 6 seconds after, and then one from 18 seconds later, and then it's this. You can see that stuff in your eyes. And then, you know, 175 is just totally, 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 totally bogus. And there's just no way that I can believe that this plane is going to work with that. And then you got, 93, Shanksville, 77, Pentagon. So you got 93, and there's nothing. There's a hole in the ground. And I don't know how legit they are. But people have pulled up, you know, Google Earth there. I don't know how to properly vet that and go further than that and verify it. You know, I don't know if you can go.
Oh, you're breaking up, Ryan.
Oh, can you hear me?
I hear you now, but your last sentence dropped out.
When 93, you know how 93 hit Shanksville, right? Or supposedly. And there's the hole in the ground, and there's not really anything there. And some people dug up, you know, records from Google Earth or whatever, and you could see the hole was there a few years ago. But I don't know how to go further than that and see if that information is correct. I don't know if you ever looked into that.
Oh, whether the Google Earth information is correct?
From that was showing that hole was already there. You know what I'm talking about? From Shanksville.
Oh, that the hole was there pre-9/11.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's people that put that out there, but I don't know, you know, how 100% that is, but, you know, it seems...
Yeah, there's a way that you can look at the dates on the satellite imagery, but it's kind of limited because it doesn't... It has, like... You can... but you do it within the Google Earth app.
Yeah.
And So, so they're saying that you can see the hole on images pre-9/11.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's got like a, it's got like a history function, and it's at the top bar of Google Earth. It'll be like a little clock icon, and it has like a little sliding, control next to it, and then you could go back and look at previous satellite images. Maybe I could try bringing it up right now on the call and see if I could see it.
Yeah, if you do, let me know, because some people did that and they put videos out of it, but I don't know. You know, I can't just trust these people, but I'm not versed in Google Earth at all. I've never really used it. I don't know the coordinates and where to put them and how to backdate the thing at all, so I didn't know if you knew anybody that tried to verify their information, because I never really ran with that because I wasn't sure. But that is
I would have to have like the GPS coordinates or something like that. You could plug in GPS coordinates and then it'll take you directly to the spot, but I don't have no way to do that.
Do you remember on 9/11, watching the Pentagon get evacuated? That just didn't look right to me. Like, at the time, I never dominated any news, but watching the Pentagon get evacuated, it didn't look like there was really any panic in anybody.
Yeah. I remember seeing some footage, and it was like, holy crap, that's Gary Welts again. And it sure as hell looks like him.
I got that video. It's the one where he's up on the road, like in front of the Pentagon. He cuts in front of the camera for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, he's in a suit, and he's like holding a phone up to his head. And
it was on Joe Crane's side, I think.
That's funny, but
looks like him.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff looks green screen too. So the Pentagon stuff looks really odd.
Oh yeah, you can see like one woman is walking and she's like bigger than the car in one little clip. It's an obvious green screen.
Yeah. There's a lot of chicanery going.
There's a lot of funny things looking at the Pentagon.
Yeah, I don't do a whole lot of looking through any of that footage anymore. I used to, but I just kind of got burnt out on it. But, I think some of the strongest stuff, though, is like you talked about Gary Welts. There was that one street interview that, that has the glass man, you know what I'm talking about, where, like, their heads are transparent.
I got that picture. Is there a way to upload a file to the chat? I got that picture right on my hard drive.
Oh, you can, like, upload a link to it.
It's not up on my
Oh, you have, like, the actual...
It's just in my hard drive. It's not on my site or anything. That's all right. I'll grab it later. I know exactly which guy you're talking about. You can see through, like, a little square of his head.
Yeah, you need to get Evernote, man. It's pretty cool for sharing stuff.
Yeah, I have it on my tablet that I just bought. What is that? I'll stop.
Yeah, you need to start using it. It's pretty intuitive. Like, you could pick, once you start using it, you'll see what's going on. It's real straightforward. And then, you save your links and stuff, and it keeps track of them, and you could put tags onto them so you can remember, like, so if you like anything on 9/11, you can have it tagged 9/11. And then, like, you could go in and search, and it'll bring up all your notes that are 9/11. I use it all the time.
And I can sync it between the two computers and stuff?
Yeah, it'll sync with your – yeah, it'll sync with the web-based version of it. So then you could take in your note, you could click on copy, save, share URL on the clipboard, and then you could send that link, and then that's what I was saying. Like, if you had that, you could send that link, and then it would pull up your Evernote page. And I'm pretty sure that you could save videos to your Evernote account.
I'm going to have to try that. You want to take, like, a three-minute break or so I can grab a drink? Or you want to take a call, or can I just grab a drink real quick?
Go ahead, man. I'll hold it down. So.
All right. I'll be right back.
Cool. All right. Yeah, it's 8:19 right now on September 15th, 2014. Hoaxbusters call. And the number is 724-444-7444. And then it asks you for the call ID. You put in 90337 and then the pound or hashtag or whatever they call it now, pound sign, wheat check or tic-tac-toe sign or whatever you want to call it. And, yeah, I was just talking about Evernote. It's a pretty good piece of software for keeping track of your crap. I like it. I've been using it for a couple of years. And, yeah, you can get the free version. It's like, I think in order to save video, like if you want to embed video, I think you have to have the upgraded version. I'm not sure. But you can certainly save links to whatever. And then it's really good, too. Like if you see something that's, you know, you think that might get pulled off the Internet, you can save it to your Internode. You can save the full page to your Internode. So it's like it makes a copy of that web page to your Evernote, and then you have it saved and backed up, which is pretty cool. And you have it on your desktop, which is pretty cool. So, yeah, there's that, Evernote. And, yeah, John Friend dropped in. Yeah, it's good to see John Friend here. Yeah, I listened to his podcast. Yeah, he asked me if I wanted to go on his podcast. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. And so I'll send him an email. Yeah, that'll be cool. That'll work. Let's see, who's else in the chat now? Boom, looking through. Oh, Damon's. Okay, I had to scroll down, and I noticed Damon's on the call. Cool. I just unmuted Damon. Oh, Damon, are you there?
So you didn't get my hours worth of talking that I was just talking about?
No, you swear you just giving us the secret to success and riches and fame and wealth and
yeah,
and we missed all of it.
You
man.
Got it. Oh. Man, that's a bummer.
No, you said no. No, I scrolled down. I was looking in the chat and I was going to, because we got, looks like we got more people here than normal. And you were way down at the bottom because I have it sorted by who's chatting. And then when you do that, it takes who's ever calling in and puts them down at the bottom, which is not a good feature.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. So you had John Friend call in earlier?
Yeah, John Friend is in the chat.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, he's got some interesting stuff. So that'd be neat if you're on his show as a guest. That'd be kind of, I think he calls it a show. I don't know, but yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the Realist Report.
Yeah, I've listened to that a couple times. I think you know, they got some interesting history and some interesting stuff about the way they think government should be, like from a probably, he's not going to like this term, but from a Hitlerian perspective. But you know, I'm under the mindset that government is an unnecessary evil, which just makes it evil. So it's not really something that we should be attempting to put in power and working our butts off to put someone in power. That just to me, that's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, me too. I don't. Yeah, I agree with a lot of stuff that John puts out and the people that call in to. Yeah, I agree with a lot of the stuff they say though. But yeah, I'm not on board with any kind of government, anything to do with any kind of government, institutionalized organization.